this fire burning in me from within. Concentrated thoughts on who I used to be, I'm shedding skin. Welcome, bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com, a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B, a.k.a. Gaston Lucien Lebanon.
Good.
Mm-hmm. All right, today's episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on this day, June 29, 2025. Yeah, 2 days away from Canada Day, or what are we, Turtle Island? Yeah, Canada Day. Reminder that this land is stolen, all right? Don't get it twisted. This shit is stolen. Not acquired, stolen. Today's episode is also rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label, and as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. This podcast ain't for you. Okay. All right. Sticking with tradition, before I continue and start the show, I'm going to say shout out to you listeners, and I'm going to ask that we quickly applaud yourselves. Because knowing my target demographic, that applaud is probably the kindest thing you've done for yourself in, I don't know, maybe in a while. And if this is your first time listening, thank you and welcome. Here's hoping I say something on this episode that resonates and allows us to make history. ShutUpPodcast.com is the website. Then ShutUpPodcast411 at gmail.com is the email address. I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts. And in today's episode, titled 278, Let Them See You Cry, I talk about the urge to cry. Simple and sweet. But before we do that, we're going to do a bit of some quotes and some randomness.
So, you're a philosopher?
All right. Excuse me. Ooh. God damn it. Where are we? All right, quotes. Let's start with some quotes. Okay. I got some, actually I got some really good ones for you today, gang. I just need to make them visible, need to readjust this window, and you know, how are we doing today? You know, as I get my shit set up. Yeah, y'all doing good? Alright, okay, alright. Don't you hate when you're just trying to kill some time and you ask the person how they're doing and they go into, well, it burns when I pee, and then I told the doctor about it, I'm like, hey, I wanted the short version. All right, okay. Let us start. First quote. Train. Okay, your greatest weapon is your mind. Train it to see opportunities and not obstacles. Now, what I like about this, what I'm thinking about this quote is I've been getting better. I've been more mindful lately of minds, including myself, that are trained to see solutions to problems. Solutions, as opposed to just talking about the problems. I've upgraded my surroundings, or one of the criteria for being within my inner circle is to be someone who solution finder, solutions, focus on the solutions. Now, I don't know the relationship between solutions and opportunity. Maybe I'm wondering if maybe the next level to that is people who see opportunities, but that would be kind of amazing. I think, you know what? People like that would scare me. And I'm just not to say that they're bad people, but I'm saying I'm just not used to, I'm not the opportunity seeking type. Maybe that's my next phase, my next milestone on my journey to healing. All right, next quote. Crying is how your heart speaks when your lips can't explain the pain you feel. I don't have an author for this quote, but it's all I can say is it's going to connect to this relates to the final thought or future thoughts. Heaven knows we need never be ashamed of our tears, for they are rain upon buildings dust. They are rain upon the blinding dust of earth, overlying our hard hearts. I was better after I had cried than before, more sorry, more aware of my own ingratitude, more gentle. Charles Dickens. Who the Dickens is Charles Dickens? I mean, all right, okay. That was that, you know, no pass. All right, fuck y'all. Okay. Next, last quote is, it is our duty to matter, Alexander Chee. Now, that quote I got from the book by Chanel Miller, Know My Name, a Memoir. I will elaborate on that on in the future thought. Okay, so that's all the quotes for today. Told you they were good ones. And let's go for some randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, all right. First one is it's a Sunday, and I bought some marijuana, a flower, and I'm looking forward to try this strain. But that's not what I want to talk about. It's the reason why just a quick thought is, you know what I love about Sundays as a former Christian? Not having to go to church. It's a combination. It's either not having to go to church or not feeling guilty that I didn't go to church. And don't get me wrong, I know for some of you extroverts, church must have been great. But not me. I mean, no, it's different. If you're someone who was like guilted into going to church, yeah, letting go of that guilt is like one of the greatest feelings. Oh man, I can't explain it. Probably as good as it's gonna be as smoking this shit. Okay, all right. Let's go to next randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, speaking of, yeah, this should go in my gratitude journal. Things that I love. Second things, you know, when preparing for these shows, one of my greatest moments or one of my best moments, sometimes I take for granted, is le démon est dans ma poitrine. Okay. All right. One thing that I love about when preparing for this show is when I have a featured thought, when I know what I want my featured thought to be, or when I have a featured thought that I'm passionate about, because it just makes it easier to decide what to talk about in randomness and quotes and what not to talk about. Because when I prepare for these shows, I collect a shitload of links to articles, videos, whatever shit that I've collected throughout the week. And I sometimes I get overwhelmed. When I'm ready to prepare for the episode, it's overwhelming, especially for a guy like me who like struggles with indecisiveness and who struggles with making a decision sometimes. So, but when I have a clear thought of, okay, well, since I'm going to be talking about that, then this might off track. This might be this might not relate or whatever. This might just be a distraction. But all this to say, today's randomness was properly curated. It's all in relation. Actually, the quotes, the randomness, all related to the featured thought. All right, and that's today's gratitude entry. Second gratitude entry.
So you're a philosopher?
All right. Next one, I got. You know, maybe I should make this a little bigger because I'm a little. 125. Oh, beautiful. Jeez. Oh, my God, kids. I'm old now. I got to enlarge the fonts. I'm that guy now. All right. Yeah, when I was when I went to the weed joint today, dispensary weed joint. It's illegal now, kids. But I went to the dispensary and I don't know, my I allowed the lady who was a homegirl who was taking the cashier. Taking that, I allowed her to get my personal information. I don't know. Maybe I was seduced by seductress. She was really hella friendly. But I remember not paying attention, and I'm disclosing my age and shit like that. All this to say that when I told her, you know, born in 75, she goes, "Oh wow, oh wow." Well, no, she didn't make a big deal. I went, "Oh, you look good for 75," and I'm like, "Oh." I don't know. I was flattered. Not that I usually get it, but it, I don't know. This particular moment was just flattered. Maybe it was just the way she said it. It didn't feel like, hey, I'm trying to get, I work on commission kind of flattery, shit like that. And, yeah. But I say this because I'm thinking about, and this is another, what the fuck am I talking about? I feel like I'm distracted. The fonts. Oh, bigger fonts. Holy shit. Why am I talking about this? Okay, because I had bigger fonts. Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, anyway. All right. No, she just said you look good for your age. And I was just flattered. And the only point I was going to make is I'm thinking about maybe it's either I was flattered, maybe there's a hint of the whole the male loneliness epidemic. It's like, you know, you get to a point where you're like, oh, you really? Marry me. All right, okay. I think I'm a victim. But that's not what I wanted to talk about. What I really wanted to talk about is, okay, I'm going to play this next clip by here, let me pronounce his name. Their name properly.
Oluk Fatmanin.
You're gonna have to say that.
Hi, my name is Oluk Fatmanin.
Fatmanin. Okay. I'm going to treat this as a PSA. No, you know, that's not true. That's true, true. Okay. I'm going to play a clip from Oluk Fatmanin. Who's a content creator I've frequently crossed on TikTok, and every time I've listened or came across one of their videos, they never miss. That's my point. The whole point, they never miss. Sometimes I feel that's, I wonder this is how I must have felt to be a disciple of Jesus. I'm like, gee, god damn, this nigga never miss. All right, yes, I will give up my life as a tax collector and follow you. I will give up my, whatever. I'm not saying I'm that extreme, but I'm going to play a clip. And the attention of the video, and then I will feel the need to explain why I'm sharing it. But it's a PSA. You know what? Because it's applicable. I'll just get to the point. It's applicable. So let me play it and then sort my thoughts after.
When I left my hometown in Texas for university, I joined the marriage equality movement with full gusto. I wanted to be around other LGBT people for the first time in my life. The more involved I became, the more I noticed that even though our community was fighting for the affirmation of our love, we were so mean to each other while doing it. Sometimes we were even more cruel than the bullies we had grown up with. The movement was insisting that the world recognize our love while extending such lovelessness to one another. There was a sense of intimate betrayal, like we should know better than this. But the truth is, we grow up in families and societies that teach us that the only way to be loved is by erasing ourselves. We grow up being taught that enforcing gender norms is an act of love. Boys don't do that. Girls don't dress like that. That control is love. And on the other side, we meet each other and we do the same thing. We tell each other to tone it down. We tell people that they're not gay enough or trans enough. We create arbitrary metrics to evaluate worthiness. We scapegoat one another for being the sole reason we aren't accepted. Sometimes we do this because we think it's love. Like we are just being benevolent, wanting the best for everyone. And so often, that's just what hatred is, misdirected love, love that's lost its way. There's this pursuit of righteousness, as if we have something to prove that we are not the scary people that this world says we are. There's this desire for a gotcha, trying to frame one identity or person as the problem to win points and be conferred legitimacy. At least I'm not that. This has particularly been the case when it comes to non-binary people. So many, even within our own community, accuse us of being men in dresses, trans trenders, taking away from the real issues. So many condone this behavior because they are afraid of being subject of this ire themselves. But this only offers a superficial form of protection. Eventually, we will all fail the rubric because it was designed to shift and exclude us. True safety comes from the creation of a world where people can craft their own lives and expressions. That helps all of us. These reactions are overcompensation. Because people have not done the work to accept themselves, they operate from a limiting belief system that legitimacy is a scarce resource that can only be conferred by others. They believe we are swimming around in a fishbowl when, in fact, we are in an ocean expansive beyond our wildest imagination. The truth is that there is no ladder to climb. There are no boxes to check off. The tree that so many seek to ascend bears no fruit. There is no one way, no gold standard of transition or being queer. There are as many ways to exist as there are people in the world. And that is a beautiful thing.
Now, I got caught up in the message, and only to later realize that, to remember that, I'll read the caption. They wrote, "This Pride, I hope that LGBTQ people can be kinder to LGBTQ people plus people. LGBTQ plus people." And I it's not the first time I do this. Is I get caught up in the message that, how do I say it, wasn't necessarily intended for me. Or if I did find a point that I found relevant, that did resonate and got to, you know, like, let's see, explain it like I'm about to do, it's common that the other person would be like so focused on the fact that, wait, they'd be distracted by the fact that, wait, why are you basing a message on why are you basing your message on a message that wasn't meant for you? And the part that got my attention is not the conversation within the community. It's more when they said there are more ways to exist as there are people in this world. I got caught up in that part. That's the part that resonated so strongly. So two things I'm going to say is, one, how it's interesting the problems within the LGBTQ plus community is similar to some of the problems in the church community, in the same church community I grew up and grew out of. And that's the constant, no, you're not this enough, or you're straying from our definition of what it means to be that. But I just love how there's a similarity in whatnot. Two, going back to the question, B, why the fuck would a cis hetero piece of shit like you, excuse me, a cis hetero male, binary male, fucking vanilla as they come, well, it's whether for the black, your blackness, you'd be vanilla as fuck. Why the fuck could you find connection in that message? The many ways to exist. It's, I feel like, as I'm general, I'm thinking about the way The Matrix reached out to me. The Matrix, the movie Matrix. Like, I felt The Matrix. Matrix was such a powerful movie. I, when I saw it, that I had just gotten out of a breakup. And I was in a dump, you know, just depressed. And my cousin just got me at home, dragged me out to go see some movie that I've never seen a trailer for. And I remember watching The Matrix. Yo, it was the first time since that breakup I had stopped thinking about the fact that I was sad. That's how strong the movie was. Love the idea. It just gave me like food for thought. It's just like it was up my alley. Fast forward to the future, I find out that the creator, I keep meaning to get the specifics out of it, right? But the people, the Wachowski siblings, when they created that movie, it was a social commentary, or it was based on their experience as a trans human being, trans women. Let me just make sure I got this right. Wait, Wachowski siblings. Yeah, okay. They both had a. Yeah, they're both trans, right? The Wachowskis. Oh, just call themselves the Wachowskis. Makes sense. Anna Wachowski and Lily Wachowski. Okay, yes. And, what I'm getting at is, I think what fascinates me about Alok, the comedian, artist, public speaker, long resume, is their message are so timely. Like, they could be speaking about something specific to their reality, and I don't know, like, there's a certain art, it's an art. To me, it's an art that you can take something for yourself from that message. It's like, I know you were talking about how much you hate paying parking tickets, but the way you said it had me thinking about how much I need to call my mom more often. You know what I mean? It's just, I think it's powerful. I wish I had that kind of, I wish I had that kind of skill. I don't know. With great responsibilities, with great power comes great responsibility. So let me watch what I say. But with that said, I think the really important part in this whole message is there are more ways to exist as there are people in this world. I'm on a journey into being a more authentic human being because I grew up believing that there was only one way to be black, male, especially male. And whatnot, whatever definition. 50 years old, what the fuck are you doing with a nickname? You know what I mean? So I thought it's just a beautiful thought. Beautiful thought. There are more ways to exist in this world as there are people in this world. And I believe that. As long as you're not hurting anyone else, including yourselves, then you deserve to live that existence. I can't say more than that. Okay, so let's go to the last piece of randomness.
So you're a philosopher?
Okay, the last one is, I don't know if I should play this. You know, can I do, okay. I'm going to play, you know what? I'm just going to say this. I'm going to end randomness by playing this joke, but then the reason I'm saying this is because it's a bit by Kevin Iso, I hope it's Iso, and after I heard it, it inspired me to continue this journey of finding my voice as a comedian. There's something, that's it. I just can't go anymore. I mean, the one thought I did have is, when do I know that I've found my voice? And then it just set me on a journey into figuring out my voice. And the next time I get on stage, the voice they hear is my own, as opposed to the voice I think the audience wants to hear. Man, I can't wait to smoke this shit. All right, okay. All right, so let's do this.
I'm going to sound ignorant for what I'm about to say because I haven't read all the articles and I don't know all the history and everything. I don't even all the way understand what makes a person Jewish, to be completely honest with you. Because I'm from Houston. When I first learned about what a Jewish person was, yeah, we ignorant. When I first... When I first learned what a Jewish person was in the South, I thought it was just a religion. That's all I knew. And then I moved out here to the East Coast, and I learned that it was also a race. And then I started listening to podcasts, and they like, it's also government. So I really don't know. I don't know what it is, bro. I'm trying to learn. And what I think is confusing is because Jewish people don't have like a greeting, like a physical greeting. I know there's shalom, but it's not like a physical thing that they do, you know? Like black people, we see each other in the street and we don't know each other. We just do a down head nod, right? See the same person a couple more times, you do an up head nod. Like, all right, you stay around here. White people, y'all see each other in the street, y'all, you know? And you know what's confusing? It's the race and the religion. Like them being both things. Because that means if it's not one, then it can still be the other. And none of the other races or religions work like that. Like a white guy can't come up to me and be like, yo, what's up, my nigga? And I'm like, what? And he say like, nah, you gotta understand, I'm black through Christ, all right? I'm a Seventh-day African, all right? It don't work like that. So this shit extra confusing. But what I was gonna say that, you know, it might not make sense to anybody, but this shit makes sense to me. So I'm gonna say it, which is it. I would understand if Israel had this energy that they have for Palestine for Germany instead, because I could get that. I'm like, all right, y'all trying to get y'all lick back. I understand that shit. This shit with Palestine, I'm like, what are y'all really fighting over? Land? Over 70 years over some land? Bro, somebody like walked in my house, right? And it was like, yo, I live here. And I was like, nah, I live here. And they was like, well, I used to live here before you lived here. And I was like, well, I pay mortgage now, so I live here. And they didn't leave, right? And then somebody else came in my house, and they killed 6 million Jews. It's gonna take me a little bit longer to get over one of them things, is all I'm saying. But it's not like that. It's reverse. And I don't understand. I don't understand how you can make peace with the people that got you for 6 million faster than, you know what I mean? I wrote these jokes while I was listening to that new Kanye album, by the way. Hey, I'm gonna just be honest with y'all. Y'all cool as fuck, because that shit don't work everywhere.
Yeah, and I remember why I'm sharing. The part that inspired my voice is when he ended his, the whole bit with, y'all cool as fuck, because this joke doesn't work everywhere. And that's the thing about finding your voice, is accepting the fact that you're not going to be everyone's cup of tea. And I was raised to be beer. No, I'm you know, I was not raised, but I grew up with the notion that you're supposed to be liked by everyone. And then now I'm growing up as trying to be an adult who accepts the reality. That's not possible. All right. Well, this concludes Quotes and Randomness. Now let's jump into some feature thought. But before we do that, we're gonna take a quick break. Hey gang, I am back. I am back. Before I start with feature thought, I'm gonna encourage you to watch. To scroll. Links are in the show notes, boys and girls, and everyone in between. And there's an extra section called Other Links. And in there, there's just cool links that I've added. And one of it is Bob Villain. Wait, Bob Villain, that's his name? Bob Villain. Violin. Villain. Chanting death, death to the RDF. Death to the IDF. And there's an article about it. But it's just interesting how we're living in, it's all these, the shit that I remember reading about in history books that was considered acceptable then, and now you're like, how the fuck? Like the fact that we are in a situation where you can get in trouble for calling out a genocide, a fucking genocide. I mean, look, holy, whatever, man. So, or the guy chanting death to the IDF is being more, what's the word, condemned than the motherfuckers killing children. Okay. The next, what is it? Yeah, playing a playing against a chess grandmaster. That one made me smile. And everything after that are just humorous. Just things to make you laugh. All right, so hopefully they help you get through the day. Get through the week. All right, let's... Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to do something different. I'm going to read out, before I get into feature thought, I'm going to read out the links that are in the feature thought section and then remind myself why I'm talking about it. So first one is linked to a song by De La Soul called Trying, and the caption for the title for the link is Today's Feature Thought Was Inspired by This Verse. And then and a link to Empathie, the TV series. It's in French, but you fucking tech guys can watch it in your native language of anglais, of English. And there's a link to the book by Chanel Miller, Know My Name, a memoir. Excuse me. Who's Chanel Miller? I'm debating on making you Google her name, but I'll get to that. Okay. Today's topic is about the urge to cry. Not crying, the urge to cry. There's a part in the song at the beginning, I believe it's Chugoy, may he rest in peace, who says it. He goes, years just blow by. Let me start this again. Years just blow by, my eyes stay fixed, but the picture's kind of out of focus. But this is the part that got me. I cry a lot, but don't admit to it. Enjoying life now, but I've been through it. Okay, no. Specifically, I cry a lot, but I cry a lot, but don't admit to it. And I was reflecting on that line and thinking about how I don't. It's the admit to it part that got me. And in my case, I don't cry a lot, but the urge to cry. It's constant, like on a it's frequent. It's frequent. So frequent that I've gotten into the habit of silencing it. If the urge to cry was a person, I put she'd be a boxing opponent. Now I don't know why I made her gender feminine. So maybe I should just say they would be a boxing opponent. I'm not a fighter type, but I do fight that urge to cry. I should get a prize for like out of the 10, 8 times out of 10, I win a fight against it, against the urge to cry. When I lose is during therapy sessions, because my therapist will say stupid shit like, no, it's okay to cry. I'm like, no, okay. I want to be clear. Let me just start out by saying this is not me bragging. This is me openly speaking about what I understand to be a dysfunction on my part. There's this inner mechanism in me. I've always believed that, you know, by the way, this is not the first time I talk about crying. I can make several episodes about it, right? But yeah, I've always believed that the last time I was able to cry was like when you're a boy and you, most men, you're used to seeing men. My role models were men who, when they were in pain, they didn't cry. And I remember finally reaching the point of getting myself to, oh, I feel that cry coming on. And I thought I was regulating it, but no, I suppress it. I suppress that urge. And now it's gotten automatic. And the reason I'm making a big deal out of it is because it's only recently that I've made myself aware that I frequently want to, the urge to cry always comes up, but I've managed to automatically like kung fu it, like silence it, get it to stop. And I remember, I never got this far in this explanation with my therapist, but I remember telling her one of the reasons why I stopped myself from crying, because I'm worried that once I turn on that faucet, I'll never be able to fucking shut it down. I mean, how am I going to be a fucking grown man? How am I going to be? To me, in my mind, it's unacceptable that I'm a grown man who cries for no reason. Again, I'm just letting it out, man. It's my goddamn podcast. I'm running myself. It's my goddamn podcast. Talk about the shit that I like. Remember, it's a safe space. Oh, well, I'm getting defensive, right? Safe space for my thoughts. My goddamn podcast. All right. I just distracted myself. Yeah, how am I going to be a grown man? Like, if I did cry for every time that feeling of the urge to cry came on, it'd be nonstop. It'd be fucking nonstop. And the reason why this came to mind, or the time where I've been noticing, it's been like, oh, wow, holy shit. Okay, this, I feel like I've been giving my opponent the urge to cry some ammunition by watching. I've discovered this new TV series. Shout out to my homegirl, SL. I don't use government names on this podcast, but if she's listening, she knows who she is. And she put me onto this TV show. And it's in French, and it's one of those drama comedies, but it's very it's heavy, man. It's kind of heavy. But anyways, I made it to episode 3, and Jesus Christ, there's a scene in there. I don't know if it was intended to be. No, this is what it is. That just the urge to cry came on, and it was just a patient talking to. There was two scenes. But it related to the same patient. It was this patient starting to make a breakthrough, and he asked the therapist, he said, why do I have these kind of dreams? And there was something about, I don't know if it's the actor, I don't know if it's the question, but even now, it's like the dirge is coming up on now. It's coming up on me right now. Yes, mental gym combating with the urge to cry. Anyway, so there's a system in me. It's like, yes, unless I have a rational reasons to cry, then you're not allowed to cry. And the other thought that was constantly for my mind is, I'm thinking some of you healthy human beings out there are listening to me and going, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Just fucking cry. What is wrong? And you know what? And if you're a woman thinking that, you know, you can add this to the list of reasons that make men unexplainable. As in, the next time some guy says, I don't understand women, we'll just say, well, I don't understand you motherfuckers. Stop yourselves from crying, because you're worried some other motherfucker's going to call you a bitch. Whatever. Okay, so, yeah, anyway. So, great TV series, but it's heavy. And I gotta watch it alone. Second is this memoir I'm watching by I'm listening to the audiobook. Know My Name, by a memoir by Chanel Miller. Chanel Miller is, let me use the right words, because if you Google her name, you know what? If you Google her name, you'll probably see something stupid like, oh, that's the girl who was sexually assaulted by Brock Turner. Who's Brock Turner? He's the motherfucker who got, like, what is it? White privilege, the white dude who, is it confirmed that he roofied her? Okay, here, there's the title they said. Okay, let me get it. Okay, Chanel Miller. Born June 12, 1992. Oh, happy belated. Is an American writer and artist based in San Francisco, California, Bay Area, and New York. She was known anonymously after she was sexually assaulted on the campus of Stanford University in January 2015 by Brock Allen Turner. Now, okay, focus. I'm talking about her book. I'm only at the third chapter. Hey, number three again, right? I'm only at the third chapter. And there were several times the urge to cry has come up on me, sneaked up on me. Her book, the intention of the book is not for me to be like, I want to fuck up Brock Turner, even though the feelings are in there. But so far the book is, I'm a human being. And it's bigger than that. I'm thinking of every time growing up during my unenlightened days, I dehumanized a woman. Specifically a woman I was attracted to. Or, you know what I mean? Like, and not just attracted to, but I mean like, yo, she just a fine ass bitch. You know, words like that. It's not just, but it's less the words, but who this person was as a human being didn't matter. Didn't know any better. I did not know any better. I think a lot of us men, we were like set up to be, I want to use the word, this is patriarchy, raised us to be monsters. And and the women and any women we came across, we were attracted, fuck it. They weren't partners, they were victims. You're going to be a victim. Like, okay, there's two ways to this, right? But getting back to her book, one, it's being reminded of her humanity. That's one. Two, the first three chapters is you're going along with her story. She's just explaining who she is. And one of the saddest part is how she had no idea she was sexually assaulted until she read about it in the news. After a Google, like some Google alert news, whatever, while on the internet minding her own business, and she's reading a story about some girl who was sexually assaulted, and then only to realize, holy shit, they're talking about me. And the way the storytelling, the way she's explaining the story is she takes you with you on this journey. So you're listening to her going, it's just a regular ass day. I went to see my sister. We went to go see, went to some party, like just, so fucking innocent. Like, you just read her innocent. Like, it's just, yo, we were just gonna see, go to some party, get drunk, be fucking students. Had no idea. And it's like she's a friend. You know, okay. You're listening to her tell her stories and you know what's coming. And that's the part that's so sad. It's like, oh, this poor girl. There's another point I was going to make. It's, this poor girl just doesn't know what's coming to her. And, how the media, after the incident, the whole media was all focused on how she got drunk and this. Like, the focus was, oh, my God. Brock was, you know the story. Yo, motherfucking could swim, yada, yada, yada. And her, some chick who got drunk at a frat party. What was she thinking? I don't know. The other reason that's sad is I'm reading this like she was a friend of mine. Like a cool, like a regular ass homegirl who, like, nigga had a very bad credit. You helped me lease that whip. You know what I mean? Just a true ass friend. The way you read it, reads it, right? You just get a sense that, yo, if we were friends, I feel like I'd be grateful for something or whatever. If we had a friendship, it would be the kind of friendship that I'd be grateful for. There's something about her essence, the way she said it, right? So I'm reading this shit, and the man, you know, and that's the part that makes it so sad, because you don't want this bad thing to happen to this friend of yours. The man in me is like constantly, I think the sadness, I repress that sadness by focusing on how much I want to fuck up Brock Turner. Or how much I'm hoping nowhere is safe for this motherfucker. But again, I want to remind you, that's not what her book is about. I mean, hey, look, not that I expect this from my target audience, but if you were to run into this dude, but that's not what the book is about. The book is her humanity And it's got me thinking about how, fuck. How do I say this? How, like I said, man, it's, maybe I should wrap this up because I don't write this shit down. In a mature podcast where I would explain to you that, well, I got over my fear. If I wanted you to know that I cried regularly. Nah, this is just, like Trugoy says, that I cry often. No, the urge to, I don't have to admit to crying because I don't cry. But the urge to cry is often, is very frequent. And maybe sometime in my healing journey, I will have sort that shit out. But yeah, man. Pray for me, I guess. That's what you say. You know what I mean? Hope for the best. Whatever, man. Who knows? Maybe I'll die never crying. Who knows? We'll see how that goes. But with that said, this concludes today's episode of Shut Up Podcast. Hope you enjoyed. Hope you enjoyed listening to it as much as I enjoyed recording it. And smoking new shit afterwards. Okay. And with that said, website, shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast401@gmail.com. Before I end this show, I want to remind you that this podcast is a safe space for my thoughts, and they're protected by the red, the black, and the green, with the red, black, and the red, blue.
Rouge et bleu.
I represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up watching TV Ontario and Télé Québec. I also represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to Big Rube's question,
are you an outcast?
This episode was rated R and F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. Thank you for listening, and remember, please be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.